Blind Cool Tech, March 17, St. Paddy's Day, 2006. Hey y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Hey, you'll want to be sure and tune in. Boy, I cannot talk. Tomorrow, for the historical tour of Clifton Neighborhood, a walking tour that we will be podcasting. And as a matter of fact, this podcast will be sponsored by the Marie and Jean Callahan Museum. Good afternoon, everyone. If you're new to Blind Cool Tech, we quite frequently, take a nice about 40-minute walk between American Printing House for the Blind in Louisville, Kentucky, and my house. And it is a sunny, a little bit windy afternoon. Waiting on a red light here, about to cross State Street. Good boy. I hope that wind's not too much. Got several things to talk with you about today. I guess one of the things that's of interest to those of you who submit podcasts especially is the situation with our FTP site. I do have a little more information now. And again, I'll just give you the background to start with. I noticed, I guess it was yesterday morning. Wow, it is really windy. That I had about 500 MIDI files on the FTP site. And at first I thought, well, somebody must be sending me these for some reason that I just don't know about yet. So I moved them off there and kept them around for looking at or waiting to hear what the heck they were. And then when I got to work at noon, I checked it again to see if anything was up there. And oh boy, that was some stuff up there, all right. There was a cracked version of Windows Vista. Supposedly the source code to Windows 2000. Microsoft. Well, no, I didn't see that till later. All kinds of programs. And just thousands of books, even. So I thought, well, I don't know what's going on. If this was sort of a random attack that someone found our password and decided to use our space as a place to distribute files. Let's see. Or what the heck was going on? Well, now, as of, let's see. Oh, when I got home last night. I guess we can go a little bit. I found some more folders. And these folders led me to believe that whoever was sending all this stuff to the FTP site was somebody we know. And the reason I say that is because there was a folder there of access software. All apparently cracked versions. So I just deleted it all and I went ahead and deleted the BCT folder off the FTP site. So nobody gets to use it anymore. Good news is we can still use usendit.com. It's just not as convenient. And if that's what you're trying to do, I actually have a pretty good idea who this is. Gee, you know, why do you want to make it hard for everybody else? Why not just let us have a little fun? Or is this person, you know, there's three things that could be going on here. One, this person thinks they're doing me a favor by sending me all this software. Well, I don't want it. Thanks, but no thanks. The second thing that could be going on is that this person is trying to share these files with the rest of Blind Cool Tech. Well, again, thanks, but no thanks. We're trying to be, and will be, an honest, upfront site, as we are podcast, a generally G-rated podcast. We try not to get too risque on here, although I'm not saying that you'll never see anything that's not suited for your children, but we will announce it before we do, so that you have time to not listen to it at your discretion. And the third thing that might be going on is that someone is trying to stop BCT. Well, again, thanks but no thanks. That's not going to happen. You can make it a little harder for us. I didn't need this headache in the middle of trying to convert everything over to a more efficient way of doing things. Good boy. And, you know, if that's the case, I also wonder why. Are you maybe an artist who, whoa, I lost the microphone. Hold on. There we go. Okay. Who is upset that we've decided to be a tad bit more liberal with our copyright information, like sharing that recital or what? Is this your way of saying, well, okay, since you're in the software business, we'll show you how it is to have pirated software? That's a little bit different, though. We're not taking any music or any income from anyone. Nobody's denying any sales to any artist that created any music, like would happen on a file sharing network. I don't understand. I suppose it could be just that someone wants to stop the fun. Well, there will be no stopping this fun. We're on a roll and we're unstoppable. And, really all that this accomplished is, well, maybe a little extra work for me. No big deal. I mean, and it's no biggie. I actually found it a little amusing. Or is it maybe a fellow podcaster that thinks Blind Cool Tech has gotten too big and they want to stop people from submitting? Well, again, thanks but no thanks. That's not going to happen. I mean, what are you going to do next? Go try to bring down Yosemite.com? I guess I should say at this point, too, the new official way, temporarily, to get your podcast to us until we can get this situation worked out in a little different manner, is to use Yosemite.com. And in case we haven't mentioned it before, here's how that works. You go to www.yosemite.com and upload your file to them and put our email address, which is blindcooltech@gmail.com, as the place where you want to send this file. And the way it works, you know, as well as I do, you can't send, you know, 20 megabyte files through emails. Email's just not designed to handle that. And besides, that 20 megabyte file ends up translating into 60 megabytes by the time it's represented in mail because of the way the internet works and the encoding and so forth. So what happens is I get an email after you upload your file that says that you sent me a file, and there's a link in that message that I can click on to download that file from their server. And then in 7 days, they automatically delete the file from their server. Nice service. Ooh, excuse that wind. Now the part of that that makes it a little inconvenient is that, you know, with an FTP site, the users can set it up so that, you know, they can treat it like a drive and just cut and paste over there. A little bit easier. A little bit easier on our end, too, to manage the files that come there, because we can have automated processes that move the files out periodically and await review before uploading. And I guess the real thing is, you know, for people that really want to submit their first cast, I do believe the FTP site was easier to use. I don't think Yosemite is unmanageable or anything. So give it a try. Don't slow down those submissions. If someone wants to spoil our fun, I guess they'll just have to learn to have fun with us. Or, hey, send us a cast and tell us what you're getting out of this. I'd be interested in hearing, actually. What's the motivation? Which one of those three was it? Or is it all three? Well, I guess one and three were mutually exclusive. So, like I say, the bad part of this is people listening to the old casts don't, you know, it's not going to work anymore with that address. Now there's, and Randy, by the way, on the list, brought up a good point. Says, why in the world are you posting that in a public place anyway? The password, that is. Well, you know, we've been doing this for 8 months, and it's worked out. Good boy. Good boy. It's worked out just fine. No problems whatsoever. So it's not an entirely unreasonable thing to do. The idea was to make it easy for people to send in their thoughts and their ideas and their experiences. But we'll just have to do it this way for the moment. You know, we've tossed around some ideas. Probably the one I like the best is to have an area to upload that's write only. So you can drop a file in there and nobody else will be able to see it. Now that's a shame too, because a lot of people on the list, you know, if you just couldn't wait for a day or two to get that podcast that somebody put up there, you could actually go onto the FTP site, grab it, and listen to it right then and there. That is an inconvenience, but to tell you the truth, there's not a lot of material on Blind Cool Tech that is so date sensitive that it's going to be a major inconvenience to wait, you know, a day or two before you get the file. So no big deal. We just have to adjust the way we operate. Now the other bad thing about doing it with the write only flag is that this person that's uploading, whoa, good boy, that's it. Yeah, just pull that right in front of us. The person that is uploading all these files could still do it, and at least that would answer one of our questions. He certainly wouldn't be doing it to share it with other people, because no one else would have access to them. You hear that Irish music over there? Over on the left is an Irish pub on the left across the street called the Irish Rover. And I'll bet they've got some green beer over there today. Rachel and I were going to go eat lunch there this afternoon, but we ended up going to Gumbo A Go-Go instead. I got some seafood gumbo with shrimp and crawfish in it, and it was excellent. The other thing we can do to make it a little easier for you guys, and we had talked about this before, is to put a link on our website to let you upload straight from there. And it's one of these things where you're going to have to just upload one file at a time. But it should be pretty easy to do. I talked with Tom Schaefer today. That's the guy I was telling you about, I know, that owns an internet service provider company, explorations.net, about the way the traffic was running. We've been going about 3.5 days now on his servers, and he says, you know, no problems. The server is not even hiccuping or anything. But wow, are we getting some transfers. I think he said yesterday it was 40 gigs. And it's been similar numbers for the three previous days. But what's interesting about that is that we really haven't put up any of the old stuff up there yet. It's up there, but the URLs are still referring to the files as they exist over on archive.org. So that's interesting, and I suspect maybe most of the traffic is the new stuff. I know we get several people a week that just discover, all right, good boy, just discover the site and start downloading material. But I don't think it's going to add a lot more to the traffic situation. Good job, though, buddy. Got a voicemail. Very interesting voicemail from Tracy's son.
Hello.
Hey there. And, well, I'll just let you listen to it.
Hey.
Hello, Larry. This is Tracy's son from Nashville, Tennessee. Just making note of the two podcasts dealing with Go Wave. And a couple weeks ago on the new SoundForge 8, I believe it was. And pretty good demonstrations of these two softwares. I use Go Wave quite a bit for recording things off of old cassette tapes and getting them into digital format. Haven't gotten a hold of SoundForge as of yet. In regarding software in general, well, the multitrack recording software, I downloaded a program called Audition, and it was made by the Adobe folks. It's put out by the Adobe people. I guess that somebody had mentioned Audition used to be Cool Edit. Apparently Adobe has bought out Cool Edit and made it the Adobe Audition. Looked like a real good program for setting up a studio and using it to record. Only one problem was about one third of the screen was accessible. The other two thirds of the screen were not accessible. You could take a windowized mouse cursor and click on the right part of the screen if you're lucky enough to know where to click, and halfway know what was there, like list of tracks and things like that. But anyway, not anywhere near usable. And I think when Audition used to be Cool Edit was usable, but I guess Audition is taking a step backwards. I don't know. And just two or three days before that, I'd had a discussion with somebody over on a Mac Visionary list about this Pro Tools program that everybody has had high hopes of perhaps being accessible with the new Mac VoiceOver. You know, apparently the 9.0 Mac systems and whatever screen was used on that system, you could use this Pro Tools with that. But since the changeover to 10.0 for the, you know, this new Mac system, apparently VoiceOver and the Pro Tools don't work good together anymore. And apparently Pro Tools for Windows don't work with the Windows screen readers. And I just wish somebody would discuss this further on podcast. Be nice if we get up some petitions to send to those particular companies, Audition, you know, Adobe and the Pro Tools folks. And after my disgust at trying to use Audition and couldn't do very well at that, I just kind of sat there and wondered, you know, well, is this yet going to be another profession that a blind person is going to get cut out of just because he can't use, you know, recording software with a screen reader? So I don't know. I know a lot of the software we use is accessible, but some of the stuff still has to be yet tackled. So I'd sure like to see some petitions on that, you know, to send to these people to get the stuff accessible or whatever. Anyway, appreciate the podcast and appreciate the reviews on the software that is accessible. So thank you very much. I just thought I'd put in my 2 cents worth. Thank you.
All right, Trace, you bring up some good points. Maybe we do need to contact the Pro Tools and the Adobe people about some accessibility. I guess what would be interesting too, I know Jerry Allen uses Pro Tools. I bet there's a lot of people that would be very interested in how you do that, Jerry. Also, what is it about Pro Pro Tools and the Adobe product. I want to say Audacity, but I'm sure that's not it. It used to be Cool Edit. And Tracy said it on the message. I just can't remember what it was. What is it about those two that is so much more appealing than using something like SoundForge? I mean, I assume they have some features that musicians are extremely interested in. But, you know, Tracy, you're right. Those programs really should be accessible. I think those companies don't realize that they're missing out on probably a pretty good market with blind musicians. And another cast that would be fascinating, I think, is a comparison of all the digital audio recording packages. And I know that's going to take a special kind of person to do that, because these programs are, well, they're complex. You can't just normally just pick one up and go without spending a lot of time learning the ins and the outs and the subtleties, how each package works, much less the basic commands. So, if anyone wants to step up and come forth with a bit of information about those, that would be excellent. Really would appreciate that. And thank you, Tracy, for the call, man. Good talking to you again. Tracy used to live here in Madison, Kentucky. I guess he's in Nashville now. One thing about Nashville, though, he does have a high-speed connection where he didn't have in Madison. So I hope things are going well for you there, Tracy. One of the other things that I wanted to touch base with you on, I've been chatting with, well, I'm going to call him George Skutkan in the Czech Republic. This is the guy I was telling you about on the Skype Unites show. And this is a guy, we're not sure we're relatives or not, but like I say, with a last name like Skutkan, there's not many of them. And he says there's not many of them over there either. Now, another thing that makes me think he might be a relative is that he has two daughters and no sons. I think I'm correct in saying that there are no more Skutkan boys in this next generation past me, because I'm my parents' only son and I have no boys. My dad's brother Tony had three girls and one boy, and Anton is the boy. He has no sons. So, apparently this runs in the blood somehow, even though I know that's not the way it works. Good boy, little buddy. Anyway, in Czech, it's Jiri, J-I-R-I with an accent on the I. That's, he tells me that's George in English. So George is a year older than me, and he was telling me, I was asking about, you know, where he lives there, and he lives in Prague, but his official residence, he says, is about 15 kilometers out, and he owns a castle, of all things. Can you believe that? Apparently his grandfather bought this castle back in 1933, and the communists took it in 1948, I believe he said. And then he got it back in 1991 and actually lived there for about 10 years. But, and he sent me some pictures of it. Wow. I had my sister describe them to me. It's pretty neat. But he says he can't afford to keep the place up anymore, so I don't know if it's just sitting there abandoned or what, but he sure makes me want to go to Prague and visit. He says there's about 30,000 Americans living there in a city of about, I believe he said 1.2 million. And a city with some rich history and architecture, like 900 years worth. So this really would be something to see. And if I do go, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to be podcasting it. Good boy. Good boy, little buddy. So that's been really neat chatting with him. Let's see, we released version 2.2 of Bookport firmware today and software. And I think you'll remember we sort of talked about some of the new features. I'll go over them quickly here and promise to do a more detailed cast about how to take advantage of the new features and how to use them. Most of them are pretty simple and pretty easy to use, but we'll just go over them with you just to make sure that you can use them effectively. And of course I think the biggest two features are the fact that there's no longer a 2 gigabyte limit on the size of your compact flash card. The limit is now 4 gigabytes, and we're in pretty good position to move that on up. It won't be near as hard as it was to get to where we are now from where we were. Along with that, we've restricted the limit of the file sizes. So back in, what was this, 02 when this thing came out? A 256 megabyte MP3 file was pretty enormous. Well, it's not today. So we've lifted that restriction. Same way with the text files, we're up to 16 megabytes instead of 4. So you should be able to get just about any text file on Earth into there, with the possible exception of the Human Genome Project. I think one of my favorite new commands is the swap file command. And what that does is just swaps you between the file you're reading and the last file you had read. You press the 2 and the 5 together and switches you. Doesn't matter what folders the files are in. It will just flip you back and forth among them. Between them, I guess, since there's only 2. Another biggie is the alarms. You can now have multiple recurring alarms on the unit, and they work. They work real well. That feature was a devil to get in there, but it's reliable. And it works well, and it's very cool. You can have an alarm so that it beeps the internal speaker, and then when you press the button to cancel the alarm, it'll just, Book 4 will just announce, you know, alarm occurred at whatever time. Or you can associate an alarm with a file. So you could either record a memo or write a text file like an agenda or whatever, and then attach an alarm to that. And then when the alarm goes off, it'll switch over to that file. And that's why we added actually the swap file command, although it's useful for more reasons than just this. So when the alarm goes off and you switch to that file, when you're through with it, you can just hit the swap file command and you're back over to your original place. Very nice stuff. I had also forgotten, since 2.1 came out back in June, almost a year ago, we fixed a lot of possible problems. So I know there were some, and I had forgot about this because I hadn't used it in so long. The navigation on unindexed MP3 files could cause the unit to, well, usually what had happened, it seemed like it was hung. It would come out of it if you waited long enough. But that was totally unacceptable. So we've eliminated that. Eliminated all the bugs we know of. Well, there's some minor things in there that don't behave exactly like I would prefer, but we'll be cracking away at those as well. A couple more of the features and bug fixes. We had had some requests to be able to start and stop on the word of boundary rather than the sentence or the line boundary, as was the case in version 2.1. So in other words, if you read a sentence, you know, now's the time for all good men to come to the aid of the party, and you stopped it on aid, if you press play again in version 2.1, it would just start over with now is the time. Now with version 2.2, you press play and it'll just say aid of their party. It'll pick up right on the word that you stopped on. Good boy. Oh, there's a trash can out here, or a recycle bin. Yeah, I've got to grab our recycle bin, in fact. So, be looking forward to this cast about Bookport 2.2 next week. Good boy. And be sure and tune in tomorrow for this historic Clifton neighborhood walking tour. I was talking with Mike Hudson, the museum director, today, and he thinks there's going to be 60 people there, so that is a pretty good crowd for a walking tour, so we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm sure it'll be fine, and it sounds like a lot of fun. I know some of you are interested in cars, and some of you aren't. I'll probably be putting out the cast I did a few months ago. You've met Joe, my daughter's boyfriend, on the Dell Tech Support cast. But I did a cast with Joe when, I hadn't known him too long. He kind of gives us a tour of an antique BMW that he drives, and antique being a 1976 model. This puppy is clean, though. Well, he also has another car that's really interesting. It's a 1966 Volkswagen Beetle convertible. And I had forgotten how tiny these things are. But This one, he literally says he has brought it back from death's door. Joe's really good with fixing things, and really likable guy. Well, you can tell from the casts. So maybe we'll take a little ride in that once it warms up a little. The car doesn't currently have a top, so we really do need to wait till it warms up a little more, even though Joe has been driving around some with the windows up and so forth. All right, we've just turned in on our street. So we're gonna bring this cast to a close. I do need to stop here and get the recycle bin, bring it back up. Except, there it is. All right, little buddy. Right. Good doggy. Let's go straight. That's it. Good boy. If you do want to submit a cast to us, I'll slide this in the garage here. Use www.usendit.com. And thanks a million. Let's keep up the great work, guys and gals. Good boy, little buddy. Hey.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. If you would like to contact us, our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the Blind Cool Tech email list at blindcooltech-request@freelists.org. Our phone number is 206-984-9203, where you may leave voicemail feedback about the show.